last week the SRI published a report on the headline issues were the cost of childcare and how that high cost in Ireland works as a barrier to employment, particularly for young women. So this won't come as a surprise to anybody. It's been anecdotally well known to be the case for the last number of years, but this is the first large-scale study conducted in Ireland about how this effect is being caused. Now, we've got issues with this, obviously, from a number of angles, three in particular. The first angle, really, is the unfairness of it all. That because Ireland as a society certainly has moved on from a few decades ago and we have much higher rates of participation in the labour market amongst women, we're still not at a situation where it's equal for the two genders. So the fact of the matter is that the bulk of caring work does fall to women still in Irish society, which means that if you've got this prohibitively high, prohibitively expensive service that is acting as a barrier to employment, that is most likely going to fall on women, and that's just unfair. The second issue with it is that it's a waste of human capital, of social capital. Ireland spends quite a bit of money educating its young people, and we have one of the best educated workforces in Europe. The fact of the matter is that nowadays young women are generally much better educated than their male peers. They perform better in the Leaving Cert. The majority of third level graduates are now women. If you want to look at it from an economic point of view, that's a huge waste of resources. If you have spent tens of thousands of euros educating people only for them to work for just a few years and then leave the workforce for a short period of time to have to begin a family and then find that they can't re-enter it again. So that's a waste of human capital as well. And the third issue is also an economic one, and it's to do with our long-term productive capacity. We're now at a position in Ireland where we're coming closer and closer to full employment. We mightn't reach the sort of levels that we did, the levels of unemployment that we did at the height of the Celtic Tiger, but it's certainly the case that if our productive capacity as an economy is going to grow, then we need to find labour from other sources. Now, we are going to get some from abroad, of course. There's still inward migration from a lot of the European Union. But there are several areas of the economy that are experiencing shortages of skills, and that's not all going to come from migration. That's just the numbers aren't going to add up. So over the next decade or so, we need to invest in our childcare structures to allow women who do want to re-enter the workforce and to stay in it to do so that we continue to grow and essentially produce the economic resources that we need to build a society that we want.
I mean, would some people say, though, that another problem is that we just haven't valued childcare as a job? And there were certain people who'd suggested that, you know, women should be paid to stay at home, or there should be some sort of subsidy given to people who mind children, and that the problem is that we've largely seen it as something that should be done for free, and therefore that's where the problem arises.
Well, minding children is a very socially and economically important thing when you pay somebody else to do it. That seems to be the attitude that's been prevalent in Ireland. But when people stay at home to mind their own children, there's no economic value placed on that, and we believe that's unfair. Now, for years, Social Justice Ireland has advocated the institution of a system of basic income that would value the work done by everybody in society, whether you're in paid employment, whether you're working in a caring role in the home or volunteering in the community, or whether you are back in education and trying to better yourself and your career prospects, and obviously with all the obvious add-on benefits that brings society. So that kind of system would put some kind of monetary value on the caring work that people do. But absolutely, I mean, governments, we would advocate that they do invest in our childcare infrastructure in order to remove those barriers to employment. But equally, there shouldn't be a situation where you're trying to heavily incentivize or almost force people back into the workforce, because of course it really should be about choice. And if women or indeed men want to stay at home to look after their children, then they shouldn't be greatly disincentivized to do so. So I think that system of basic income would value that aspect of work.
And you mentioned men there as well. I mean, as you say, the bulk of the childcare work tends to fall to women. I mean, should we not generally as a society try to be moving to part-time work for all parents?
That's certainly a possibility. The world of work is changing. and is going to continue to do so as technology changes in the next few years. I suppose you could look at some of the models that are in place in Norway and Sweden or in Germany, where couples get a sort of, you want to call it a combined package of maternity and paternity leave, which they can choose to split how they want. Now, that has shown to have a lot of positive effects when men take larger proportions of that than would be the case in Ireland, we'll say, where most of the leave is given to the mother. For example, children tend to perform better in education where their fathers have had more active participation in their early years, and as well as that, it actually works out very well for the women because men get into the habit of playing a very active role at an early part, and that translates to doing similarly right throughout the upbringing of the child. Now, it would also have a benefit, I think, from an employment point of view, because if employers are used to the idea of men taking a substantial amount of, well, substantial might not be the word, but say like a few months at a time for each child in leave every time they have one, then they're much more, there's the difference between the employer's experience with female and male employees is going to be much decreased, and levels of discrimination in the workforce, levels of prioritising men for promotion and for wage increases in various firms is going to decrease. And of course, as I say, like that, this is the case in Norway and Sweden. These just happen to be two countries where the gender balance in many walks of life is much better than it is in Ireland. So I think we could be looking at these models and learning something from it. We don't necessarily have to adopt exactly what they're doing, but levelling the playing field between the two genders would be a very good start to this.
Yeah. I mean, is the reality of it, though, perhaps that governments and the rest of society are only going to step up and help out when they feel like there's a need? So you see it a lot in countries where there's a falling rate of birth, and that people aren't really having that many kids, that suddenly everybody starts going, we'll give you whatever you want, we'll give you grants, we'll give you, you know, but as long as people are having plenty of children, there's never really going to be any incentive for governments to do anything about it.
Well, probably the country that's experiencing the worst situation of this at the moment in terms of Western developed countries is Japan. And they're now at a point where the government is actually effectively funding speed dating nights in order to get people to who might otherwise concentrate on their careers to potentially meet potential partners. Their birth rate now is much lower than Ireland's. We're not in the same difficult situation as them, but we do have a falling one, and we do have something that at the moment is below the replacement rate. That's for a number of reasons, but one of the things is certainly the fact that it is so expensive to raise children in Ireland, and that can often work as a disincentive to having that extra one or two. Now, I'm sure you have the same experience, Miriam. You're a mother yourself, and you've got lots of friends who have young families. I listen to, anecdotally speaking, I listen to a lot of my friends talking about how, well, if we have the extra child now, that will require a whole new range of things, including buying a new car, which is obviously a huge expense. There's like a whole transition that's involved in having maybe that third child on top of the two you might have, or maybe the fifth, the fourth child on top of the three you already have. And the more disincentives like that exist, the more likely our already falling birth rate is likely to continue to fall. And that's obviously going to present massive problems for us like decades down the line. So what the government needs is to take preemptive action and not wait until we're in a situation like Japan or some other countries and start making those investments now. Because Catherine Zappone, the Minister for Children, is quite honest in that the problem facing her is that as a result of decades of underinvestment. Now, we can continue that pathway of underinvestment until it's almost too late and you're taking kind of emergency measures to do it, or we can make the decisions that need to be made now. Two budgets ago, the government brought in what we hoped was the beginning of the building of a solid platform of childcare. Unfortunately, last year's budget, there was nothing very much added to that. So given the amount of fiscal space that's available in the budget next month, we're very hopeful that the government is going to expand the ECCE scheme and start kind of building that infrastructure of childcare that they have in Scandinavian countries and a lot of the countries in Western Europe.